Okay, so we're on Daf 8 tonight. So if you remember, we're on Shabbos. We learned one halacha from Rabbi Chiya. So the Torah says that there aren't so many shvuas that are chayav on a Torah level, but one shvua is mode of mikzah. If Reuben claims $100 from Shimon, Shimon says, I owe you 50, so Shimon is obligated to take a shvua. And we spoke about in the Gemara, the shvua the Gemara said is so that he'll confess the truth. So Rabbi Chiya had, this is the first halacha of Rabbi Chiya on Daf Gimel. He says, let's say Shimon says, I owe you nothing, but Edim say you owe him at least 50. So Rabbi Chiya says that's the legal
Sorry,
equivalent of mode of
18.
mikzah,
It's with 18, 18
and
inch.
then Memela, he's chayav shvua. That's the first halacha of Rabbi Chiya. Okay? Okay, then the next halacha on Daf Daled you had in yesterday's daf was the din of Halach. That's where the same thing, Reuben says you owe me $100, Shimon says I owe you 50, but here it is, here's the $50. That's Halach, here it is, Halach, here it is. So there's a machloket between Rabbi Chiya and Rav Sheshet, whether in that case, is that viewed as a regular mode of mikzah, in which case, according to Rabbi Chiya, he is chayav shvuah, but according to Rav Sheshet, since he says here it is, if the mob already has the money, so in essence, it's kofar hakol. In other words, that's water under the bridge, and now it's a different case, kofar hakol. Okay, those are the two dinim we had from Rabbi Chiya. Okay, now on Daf Heyam and Aleph, we're picking up with Rav Sheshet's din. So Rav Sheshet says the case of Halach is pakur from a shvuah. So the Gemara says on the top line of Heyam and Aleph, 5a is the top line. Okay, Luban Damar Halach Patur, according to the opinion, i.e., Rav Sheshet, it says that Halach is Patur. Why do we need a pasuk to teach me that karka is not chayav shvuah? Meaning that if the mode of mikzah deals with karka, you're patur from shvuah. But halach is here it is. By karka, by definition, here it is. In other words, we're shooting karka, so here's the karka. So why do I need the pasuk to teach me that it's excluded from shvuah? I call karka halachu. By definition, all karka is halach. So the third line, Amar Lach, Surabshesh, would say to you, Istrikra, Echad Chafavar Borotzi, Chinamarod. I need the Pasuk. If sometimes the person had damaged the Karka, in other words, Reuben claims Karka from Shimon, and Shimon says, here's the Karka, or here's half the Karka, whatever. But it was not Halach. Yeah, but sometimes he could have damaged the Karka. So if he damaged the Karka, so that's not a case of Halach. And then there, so Halach is here it is. Now you have it. But if he damaged the karka, it's not here it is. You did a lot of damage. So it's not a case of Halach, but notwithstanding that, there's no shvuah. But just one sentence then. Inami, karkaut, or in the alternative, it could be, let's say Reuben claims kalim and karkaut from Shimon, and the kalim is not a halach case. In other words, he admits the kalim, but he doesn't have the kalim right in front of us like that. And he denies the karkaot. So in other words, the halach part is here it is. I have it. But you could have a case of mode of mikzah where he's denying the karka, but he's admitting the kalim. So that would also be a case that the Torah teaches me that your patur. So let's repeat again, and then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay. So the din in Rav Sheshet is the case of halach, your patur from the shul. That's the first episode. Halach, your patur from a shul. So the Gemara says, why do I need a pasuk that teaches me by karka? And Rashi brings down the Gemara learns it from a klal and a prat and shvuas, and later on in Perek Hazav, in our Masechta, we're going to have it. So why does Rav teach me that in a case of karka, I'm not chayav shvuah? Karka, by definition, would be a case of halach. So the Gemara says, no, not every karka case is a case of halach. That's the basic answer. I could, and so therefore, I need to teach me that in that case, according to the Sad, that you're not chayav shvuah. It could be where the person damaged the karka. That's not a halach. Halach is here it is, but here is like the thing you destroyed the whole place. That's not halach. Or let's say the taina was kalim and karkaot. The person admitted the kalim, but even the kalim are not halach because the kalim either he doesn't present it right now or he damaged the kalim, but he says, the kalim I owe you, but the karka I don't owe you. So that would be also a case where it's not halach and mamil, your patur. Okay. Who's had questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Wait, no, Rafi, then we'll go. Go. You take an excavator, you dig holes in it, you dig ditches all over the place. The place is not, it was farmland, and now the whole place is. No, that you're destroying the carcass. You dig pits, ditches, and he's ruining the face of the carcass. Okay, who else had a question?
Damage or not damage?
Yeah, in other words, that's what the point is. He wants to say that it's not a case of halach. So if the, there's a kelim right here, that's still a case of halach. So he wants to have a case where it's not halach and you're patur. So the case is either I'm not giving you the kelim right now, or he damaged the kelim, so it's not a case of halach. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Not tonight. We didn't speak about Hashavah. All right. Okay. All right. Everybody good? Okay. Okay. Let's keep moving. Okay. Now, so again, we're with the din of Halach. Now we're going to ask Kasha against Rav Sheshet from the following Brisa. Okay. Line 6 on Heyam and Aleph. Heyam and Aleph. Okay. So Tashma, the Tani Rami Barchama. So Rami Barchama taught the following Brisa. Now, let me just say this outside, then we'll do it inside. If you remember, we spoke in the Pesukim, Baba Kama, it says, Ki huzeh. It says, I'm sure you marked Ki huzeh. So the Pasuk of Ki huzeh is from the way I remember by Shomer Chinam, says Ki huzeh. So if you remember in Baba Kama, we said it was Erev Parshio. In other words, the phrase Ki huzeh doesn't belong there, according to one opinion. It belongs in the Parsha in Kesef Tav Adami. In other words, I have a claim of money against you, and you're part of it. That's the case. You're chayv shua. I show you mark use. I mean, it's motive mixad, and you're chayv shua. But according to a different opinion, no, kihuza belongs there, and it's saying that as a prerequisite for shua to shomrim. Shua to shomrim is I'm taking shua. Let's say I'm a shomer chinam, so I'm patur and kineva baveda. So let's say I want to take shua that the par you gave me it got stolen. So I want to get off the hook. I want to take the Shvut HaShomrim. So there's an opinion that holds in order to invoke Shvut HaShomrim, first you have to have a case of motive mixat. Now, how do you have motive mixat by Shomrim? So we'll see in a minute in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to say you have to have three animals, three cows. It means one animal, I totally admit liability. Totally admit liability. One cow, I totally deny liability. I say you never gave me that cow. And then the third cow, that's the cow I say you gave me, but it was stolen. Or if I'm a Shomer Sakar, it was Ones, something like that. You got this? That's the Aleph Beis. You have this? Everybody good with that? Okay. So then let's see the Gemara. So the Gemara says on line 6, so Tashma, the Tani Rami Barachama, Rami Barachama taught the following Braisa, Arba Shomim Strichin Kafar Mixat, Bodab Mixat, that this town obviously holds that the din of Motav Mixat is a prerequisite for Shuvah Shomrim. He says the four Shomrim, and we're going to have a lot about Shomrim later on our Mesesta, you need Kfira mixat and hodah mixat. You need a total kfira and total hodah. And that's the shomer chinam v'shoel, the person who's guarding something for free or is, borrows it. That's the greatest level of liability. Those he sakar v'soker, the shomer sakar and the soker. Okay, that's the brisa. So heichi dami lav the amar lehela. So what is the case where he, in other words, I need an admission, a denial, and then the third cow is the one that. Like he's saying the Torah patters me for. That's the case. So the cow that he says, I admit to, isn't it, here's the cow, I admit to it. So it's a case of halach. So, and nevertheless, we think that there's like a shua that's going to be involved here, like a type of motive, a mix-up. That's what we think it's going to work out with this. He says, hey, is it not that the shomer says, and here's the cow? So lo, no, the amarle that the Mafkid says to the Shomer, Damarle Shoshpro Masar Tlifa, who made two Kulub Shia. He says, I gave you three cows, they all died for your negligence. But Amarle Ihu, and he, the Shomer, says in response, Chara lo yudvar meolam, one cow you never gave me at all. That's total denial. He says, Vachara meitaba onus, one dies through onus, I'm a Shomer Safar, let's say, onus on Paturan, that's the one that's the who is the Shomerim, Vachara meitaba Shia, one died. Through Pshia, through my own negligence. So that's the admission. In other words, it died, but through my negligence. So I owe it to you. In other words, we're saying that in order to invoke the Shvut HaShomrim, first I have to have a mode of a mixad. So the mode of mixad is going to be one I admit and one I totally deny. So the one that I admit, so that's a case of halach. I'm saying here's the cow. The Lord says, no, I could say that. He says he totally admits it. Yeah. It died through my negligence. That's total admission. Not that here's the cow, but I totally owe you the money. That's what he's saying. Everybody wants this? Okay. Everybody good? Everybody, any questions, comments, thoughts? Okay, good. Now, okay. So Tash, now, okay, now we're going to shift to the other din of Rebbe Chiya now. Okay, we're done with this Rebbe Chiya about Halach, I'm going back to the earlier din of Rabbi Chiya, which is what it's right. In other words, Reuben says you owe me $100, Shimon says I owe you nothing, but Adam says you owe him at least 50. So according to Rabbi Chiya, it's a mode of mixed-up case. So it's Hashima, the Tani Abu, the Rabbi of Tariki, was Rabbi Chiya Kamaita, the father of Rabbi of Tariki, taught a brisa that is going to be a problem for Rabbi Chiya Kamaita, the first din of Rabbi Chiya on Daf Gimel. So the brisa says as follows, go focus. Manali biyarka, Reuben says to Shimon, manali biyarka means you owe me a mana, 100 zud. And Shimon says, I owe you zippo. He says, va'edim yino toshesh bedo chamishim zuz. And the Edom say, you owe him at least 50. He says, yachol yishav al shar. I might have thought that Shimon could take now a shua for the other 50. 50 we know he owes, but the Edom established. That's as good. He said, look at 50. Taman lomar, al kol avidah shir yomar ki huzeh. So it says, al kol avidah shir yomar ki huzeh, that he says, ki huzeh. He says, al hodaki v'tamachayvo, you machayv him, mode of mixat, when he admits part of it, but you cannot machayv him for that adim. So again, Rabbi Chiya said that obviously mode of mixat, if you admit part of the claim, you're chayv shua. Everybody agrees on that. But Rabbi Chiya says, even if he doesn't admit part of the claim, but the adim come testify that he owes part of it, he's chayv shua. This Bryce says, on all fours, the brisa is against Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya, the thing is an Amara, so it's not going good. The brisa is totally against him. This brisa says, motor mix that is only when you admit part of the claim, not when Adam come and testify part of the claim. So the Gemara says, you're asking a brisa against Rabbi Chiya? Rabbi Chiya Tanahu Pali. He's the equivalent of a Tana, meaning in that generation, like it's the transitional generation between Tanaim and Amorayim. So we know that the Gemara says Rav Tanahu Palig. So Rabbi Chiya is also Tanahu Palig. The Rabbi Chiya gets the status of the Tana. So in Achinam the Brisa is this way. Rabbi Chiya can be Cholik with the Brisa, so no problem. So the Gemara says Bahakra Tamar. But the Brisa adduced the Pasuk to support his position. The Tana of the Brisa says, he says, Asher Yomar Ki Huzeh. Asher Yomar, that he says Ki Huzeh. So it's only his admission, not Hadar Eidim. So what is he going to do with, what is Rabbi Chiya going to do with the Pasuk? Ahu, Lamoda mixed a taina. So Rabbi Chiya says, not a problem. In other words, that Pasuk doesn't say only for Hodat Piv. In other words, in Akinami, everybody agrees for Hodat Piv, Rechai Moda Mixad. And Rabbi Chiya, he learned a Kabachomer that Hadat Edom is also Chayav. So the fact that the Pasuk says, this is the way Rabbi Chiya will say, the Pasuk says you're Chayav Moda Mixad for Hodat Piv doesn't mean that you can't be Chayav for Hadat Edom. He says, V'avud Rebbe of Tariki Amarla, but the Tana that's quoted in the Brisa that Avud Rebbe of Tariki cites would say to you, Tivhu Tivzeh. So there's a superfluous term. The Torah could have said, Asher Yomar Kihu, Adol Kimidvar Shem, or Asher Yomar Zeh. In other words, what is Kihu Zeh? One of the terms is superfluous. He says, Tad Lamoda Mixad Ataina. One term is coming to see the Moda Mixad in Aral. Admission, Yerchai Shua, B'chad l'hadar Edom, the Patur. The other term is coming to teach me that excluding Hadar Edom. So now Rabbi Chiya has this problem on the floor against Rabbi Chiya. The Edom, the other side, would be Rabbi Chiya, would say, Chad l'mona mixed at taina. One is teach me that Yerchai of Moda mixed at taina. In other words, that you, when you admit part of the claim, Yerchai Shua, B'chad l'mona imin hataina. The other is saying that the hodah has to be minataina, it can't be from another min. We'll see in a minute. He says, in other words, it means like this. Let's say I claim you owe me, you know, tanochitim. I say you owe me a sack of grain. And the person says, no, I owe you a sack of barley. So is that mode of mixat? So this tana is going to say, or Rabbi Chiya will say, no, it's not mode of mixat. Mode of mixat means I have the claim and you admit part of my claim. If I claim A and you admit B, that's not mode of mix-up. According to Rabbi Chiya, there's no shua in that case. What that would be right. The Ida, mode of minatana, lately. So the other side holds, I don't know, in other words, the other side learns, one term is to teach me that it has to be an oral claim, and the other term teaches me that it can't be with Hadar Eidim. So what does he do with the din about that it has to be minatana? So the Edom Modim in a Tana lately, he doesn't hold that it has to be Minatana. He says, Vesabar like Rangamliel. In other words, the other Tana The Tana and the Brisa that's cited by Rabbi Rabbi Gricky, holds like Rabbi Gamliel. Man, we learn the Mishnah. This is a Mishnah Masechet Shavuot. Tana chitim odel b'sorim patur. Tana Kama holds if Reuben claims chitim and Shimon admits seorim, so Shimon is patur from a shvua. Rabbi Gamliel machayev. Rabbi Gamliel says you are chayev. So the other, so one side will say patur, one will say chayev. Okay. Any questions, comments, tell us anything we did? So let's just think this through for a second. So. The so we shifted gears to Rabbi Chiya's first din, which is with Hadad Edim. So Rabbi Chiya says that you're chayim moda miksa. So we quoted a brisa that says no, you're not. It's just both tear. So what is Rabbi Chiya going to do with that brisa? So the Gemara says no problem. Rabbi Chiya's a Tana. He's pulling with the brisa. Okay, sure. But the Gemara says, but the Tana brisa quoted a pasuk. I show you marking that. No problem. Rabbi Chiya admits, yeah, that there has to be. I admit that in the case where a person admits part of the Tana aral, it's chayim moda miksa. But also with Hadarim also chayim. The other one, Tana says, yeah, but it says, I show you mark ki hu zeh. We have two terms there, hu and zeh. One of them is superfluous. So the Tana holds, one teaches me that it has to be an oral statement, that's one of the mixat, and the other zeh, it can't be Hadarim. So what is Rabbi Chiya going to do with that? What say? Three lines, then we get questions. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Chiya is going to say, that zeh is teaching me a different halacha. That zeh is teaching me that motor mixat is only if it's miminatana. If it's not miminatana, then there's no motor mixat. And the other one says, no, I don't care about that, because as far as I'm concerned, it's always motor mixat. Even though Tano Kitim, although the Besorium, he holds like Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, now, what's your question?
Same thing.
No. You said a different case. You said it. You changed the fact pattern. You changed the fact pattern.
I'm trying to explain better what the same min.
All right. So the same min means the same min means it means that if I claim kasha and you admit mun, it's not motive of a mixed
fact. The fact that both foods is not.
No, no. It's got. It's what's it? Wait, I have to help my friend.
Right.
One sentence. Get the cover here. Right, here they are.
Money's money.
But it means if I claim wheat and you admit barley, that's two different meanings. In other words, well, I don't know. In other words, you're like reframing what the taina should be. But in other words, if my taina is I gave you grain and you admit I gave you barley. That's not minatayna. Not minatayna. Okay, but according to Rabbi Gamliel, it is a type of grain. But in other words, my taina is you owe me chitim. That's the case I'm presenting to court. I'm here in court. I want chitim. In other words, I could say you owe me an object. You owe me something. But I have to specify what it is you owe me. So what I gave you, so I gave you chitim.
We have other places near, but
Well, yeah, I mean, you would send wheat and barley are two different meaning, right? Apples and oranges are two different meaning. All the different meaning, right? Okay. No, I don't think the fact. You see, again, like in other words, like if he walks in and says, "You owe me dagan." I don't know if that would make it be min hataina, because in other words, he has to present what the claim is in court. In other words, it's too indefinite, right? You have to specifically say what I'm seeking. You know what I mean? In other words, like in other words, let's say you say dagan and I bring you spelt. So he says that isn't what I claim. You know,
right apple and unripe apple.
All right, wait for Masechet Shavuos for this. Wait for Masechet Shavuos for this. All right, okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? What? All right, now let's see further in Gemara. Okay, now, okay, so we're 10 lines from the bottom on Haman Aleph. Okay, you doing good, Yaakov, there? Okay.
I have a request. I have a request.
Up? Yeah, what's up? What's up?
I beg you to slow down a little bit the pace, please,
of
your speaking.
Okay, I heard. Okay,
thank
now,
you.
10 lines from the bottom. Everybody with me? Okay. Ahu Raya, Davu Masri. Okay, we got to mute everybody. Mute yourself, Ruth. Please mute. Okay, so Ahu Raya, Davu Masri Lake Poyoma, Fevat Besade. There was a certain shepherd. Every day people would give him the animals, the sheep, the lambs, with Adim. Yomachan Masri Lake Below Sade. One day they gave him without Adim. You know what's happening? You know what's happened, right? But so far, Marlahu lo yidvar me'olam. In the end, he said, it never happened. I never got any sheep from you today. He says, Atu sade asidu be the akhla part of the night. And then Adam showed up that he ate two of the sheep. So, all right. So, I guess he was a hungry guy. Anyway, now, okay, look, listen. So now we have a taina, you know, you owe me sheep, and we have Adam that corroborate the claim. That was he denies the claim. We have a claim, and then denial at the other end, and then Adam who show up and are able to corroborate at least part of the claim. I saw the two of the sheep. Yeah, no, you're right. The two of the sheep that they don't like Joe's sheep or whatever. Okay, so let's take a look. So he says, I'm Reb Zera, I'm Ita, the Rebbe Chiya Kamaita. So Reb Zera said, if we'll hold from Rebbe Chiya's din on Daf Gimel, he says, Mishtaba Ashara, then the shepherd will be obligated to take a shua regarding all the other sheep. Straightforward. It says, so Amar Le Abaye. So Abaye says to Rebbe Zera, Im Ita Mishtaba Bahagazlanu. How could you possibly give this shepherd a shua? He's a goslin. In other words, we've already established he's a thief, in that he ate sheep that wasn't his. So a goslin is possible from taking a shua. So what do you mean that if we hold from Ruchia's din, he'll take a shua, but he's a goslin? So Amar Lei, Shekinegdo Kamina. Shabazir said, I meant that the other side, and with, like the Mishnah says in Sech Shuot, that Kula Nishban Shuba Torah, Nishbain Lomashaman, that all the people take shua in the Torah, they take shua and they don't pay, but then there are some situations where a person takes a shua and gets money. So if a person is chashan on shua, in other words, the person is chayav shua, you have Reuben and Shimon, and Reuben is chayav shua, but Reuben is pasul to take a shua, so then Reuben, as the Dindrabanan, Reuben takes the shua and Reuben gets whatever the claim is. So here, he said, I meant, you're right, in this case, he is pasul for a shua, but I meant on a din d'rabbanan, Reuven or the claimant will take a shua and then he'll win the case. That's what I meant. So the Gemara says, Hashtanami delayed for Rabbi Chiya, even assuming arguendo, the Gemara says that we don't hold from Rabbi Chiya's din. So Mamela, it's not a modem excite, not chayav shua. He says, Nechayav me to Rab Nachman. There should still be a shua in this case based on Rab Nachman's din. That's not because we learned the Mishnah of Sech Shuot, Manli Biarka, if Reuven claims a man, 100 says from Shimon, in the Chabiyari, and then Shimon says, I owe you nothing, he's Patur. So then Shimon is Patur and Din Torah from Shua. But Amar Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman said, concerning that Mishnah, Mashbin Otoshu would hesay, that on a Rabbanan level, even if a person is kofar a call, we administer a Shuad hesay. Shuad hesay means, I don't know, the Arts really said, like a Shua to incite, but I would say induce. It means it's a Shua to induce the person to confess the truth. So just like over there, meaning normally we have, even a person's kofar of call, he takes a shua. So here, with the shepherd case, we flip it over to the plaintiff. So again, we have the people come over and they say to the shepherd, we gave you our sheep. He said, never happened. And then Adam show up and they testify he ate at least two of the sheep. So we say, if you hold from Ruchia's din, this is a shua. So he can't take the shua, so we're going to have the plaintiff take the shua. So the Gemara says, even if I don't hold from Rabbi Chiya's din, let's say a person's kofar a call, he takes a shua. So in this case, the shepherd can't take it because he's a goslin. So we'll have the plaintiff take it. That's the question of the Gemara. Why is this dependent on Rabbi Chiya's din? Whether we hold from Rabbi Chiya, we don't hold from Rabbi Chiya. It should be the same result. The person should be Nishma Benosa, plaintiff. Okay? So the Gemara says, Rishmina Soshwud has said. So the Gemara says, no. The Rav Nachman Takanti. In other words, the shua the Rav Nachman instituted, that's a takana drabanan. Turn page, top line on other days. But takanta lo abdinan. We don't do one takana on top, just like we don't have zebra the zebra, we don't have takana the takana. In other words, if the underlying shu is only drabanan, and now you want to flip it over to the other side, that's the second takana. So that would be takanta lo takanta. Takanta takanta, now we're going to do. Okay, let's just look at some Rashis and then we'll go on. Few lines from the bottom and hey, I'm an Aleph and Rashi. So it says, Hese, everybody have it, shua. There's a shua that the chachamim instituted to induce the person to admit the truth. There's a presumption that a person doesn't make a claim in like thin air without something basis to it. So therefore, if a person is called for a call, we want to give him a shua so he'll kind of fess up a little bit. Yeah, I told you I studied this Masechta when I was in high school, right? This was in 11th grade. Yeah, so they had a chidon, and I remember at the chidon, there was a quiz at the end, and it was competitive. And one of the judges asked me this question from this Rashi. Okay, now Rav Nachman Takanti in Rashi comes right to the Rami Shvula. At Torah level, there's no Shvula. So turn page on the next Rashi. The top line in Rashi on Haman Bay is 5b. He says, "Betakanta the Shnegdo Nishba Yishba Biyotol Davinami Takanta." That's also a Takanta. The Bina Torah Bishal the Shalim Hu Yishba Biyiftor on a Torah Minateshlumin. On a Torah level, the defendant takes it, and then he's patur. Nishba Binotel Minat Torah. There's no Nishba Binotel Minat Torah. But Tanam Nuim Bishuo Takanta Chamim Hain. Then there was when the Mishnah says in Masechet Shvuah that some people Nishba Binotel. It's all in the Rabbanan. The Shvuah the right to avoid Rabbanan Takanta. Takanta is only when the underlying Shvuah is Duraisa. But okay, so in Achinami, so if we would not hold firm Rabbi Chiyas, then there would not be a shul in this case. Everybody okay? Exactly right, Karen. You got it. Now, let's get the two dots. Let's wait five lines. Get the pads out. Get the pen out. And let's make a mental note, and we'll move on. Okay, now he says, but typically, the Habali wrote. So the Gemara says, on Abaye. So Abaye says, he can't take a shul because he's a thief. In other words, a shepherd's a thief. Because he ate lambs that weren't his. Why does he have to come on that he's like a thief? Because I have specific evidence in this case. Why can't I just say that he's a shepherd? If Amar Rav Yehuda stam roa pasul. Rav Yehuda says a roa, was a shepherd by definition is pasul, you know, for Eidus and pasul for Shua because he's a thief. In other words, I don't need specific evidence. In this case, he did it. Why don't I just say that? Like that's his trade and profession. He's pasul. Because and let's look at Rashi on the fourth narrow line. The Amar Rav Yehuda Stam Roa, I feel lohu out of love shekazal pasula edit the Stam a gazlan who, because presumably he's a gazlan, Shomer Rebbe will tell bestow shal acherim. He grazes his sheep and other people's property, so he's a gazlan. So why did Rabbi have to say in this case he's a gazlan? Why did you say he's a shepherd? So lo kasha the third line. That's not a problem. It's not a question. Hadidei hada alma. In other words, it depends on whose sheep the shepherd is grazing. In other words, if he grazes his own sheep, then there's a presumption that he goes to other people's, you know, land and he grazes them. You're right. Then he's pasul for shvua. He says hada alma, but if he's grazing other people's sheep, in other words, his trade profession, he's the shepherd for the town for other people's sheep. He says then I can't say stam roa that he's a gazlan. In other words, I need specific evidence. Why? In other words, the Gemara is going to say, "Ein adam chote below low." Person doesn't sin if he's not benefiting from it. So if I'm grazing your sheep, I'm not going to, you know, do an aveira for your sheep. I'm doing an aveira for my sheep, not for your sheep. He says, "The ilo te mahachi," because if you don't say that way, anan hechi anan kevat the roa hechi masrinan. How do we give any sheep to the shepherd in the town? Baktil of neiver lo te mashol. If there's a presumption that he's going to graze it in other people's territory, other people's fields. So I'm guilty also because I'm like, you know, providing him the situation, you know, an accessory to the crime. I'm encouraging him to do with his aveira. I'm giving the sheep. I didn't know he's going to do that. Ela chazaka and zamachote below low. Rather, there's a presumption a person doesn't sin if he's not benefiting from the sin. So it means here in this town they would give their sheep to the town shepherd, but he was grazing other people's sheep. So he didn't have the psul that he's a roa, but if he's eating the sheep. Then he's a goslin, and then he's pasul for shua. Okay, let's just think what we did. And then, wait, let's think first. Let's think. Let's review. Let's think, and then we'll do the questions. Okay. So now, we're holding with Rabbi Chiyas first in, which is Rabbi Chiyas Kamaita that he holds that if you have hadas edim, the chaimotu mixa. So there was a case where the people would give their sheep to the shepherd to keep an eye on it with edim because they always wanted to have evidence. Then one day they give it without edim. And lo and behold, of Tzalachas, that's the day he says, I never got the sheep. But Adam showed up and testified he ate at least two of the sheep. Maybe he got 50 sheep, but at least two of them we saw him eat. So the Adam are you know, verifying at least part of the claim. The Adam are verifying, just like Rabbi Chiyas did, the Adam are verifying that he got at least two of the sheep, but the sheep were from dinner, but at least two. So if from Rabbi Chiyas, then he's chayav shvua. So Gemara says, how can he be chayav shvua? He's a gazlan. A gazlan can't take the shvua. So Gemara says, no, we didn't mean that he'll take the shvua. We'll flip the shvua to the other side. So the Gemara says, well, now you're telling me you're going to flip the shvua to the other side. Well, even if I don't hold from Rabbi Chiyuvdin, even assuming it is a kofar hakol, but Rabbi Nachman says in a kofar hakol, there's a shvuah drabanan that the defendant has to take. So we'll flip the shvuah that to the other side either way. So either way, whether I hold from Rabbi Chiyuvdin or hold from Rabbi Chiyuvdin, we'll be in good shape. So Gemara says, no. If I go the Rabbi Nachman route, that would be takanta takanta, because the din de rabbanan would be if kofar hakol takes it. Then the flip it to the other side is also takanta de rabbanan. So that he wouldn't. But if I hold from Rabbi Chiyuvdin, he'll take it. So the Gemara says, why did Abaye have to say he's a Gaza? Why did Rabbi just say his trade and profession, he's a roe, he's pasul? So the Gemara, and a roe, because he raises sheep in other people's property. Where it says, as roe raises his own sheep in other people's property, he doesn't raise other people's sheep in other people's property. So here, he's the town roe. Otherwise, how can I give the sheep to him? I'm over on Lifte Iver. So Mela, so because there's a presumption, and I'm Kote Lobo. Okay, now, Rafi, what do you have? Then I'll take everybody else's question. Go. Okay. Here's this. Okay. So it means a person like Yeridan, many people were shepherds and tzaddikim, but the stam shepherd, in other words, the presumption is in Chazal that the average shepherd grazes his sheep, like we saw, like with Avram and Lot, right? By ye riv bein roe miknei Avram, u bein roe miknei Lot. That what was the riv about? Rashi says, The roe miknei lot were grazing their sheep in other people's property. So the average person does it. The average roe, that's the presumption of halacha. But in Achinami, a person could be a righteous roe. Okay, what's the next question?
So when you're given the situation of a leaving shua, what makes you
puzzled
for the shua? I would think that more than just the roe would be
puzzled
for shua.
In other words, sort of begging. If a person has a chalo shame of a rasha, then he's puzzled to take the shua.
If he's a rasha, he's puzzled.
Wait. Somebody is making some noise over here. Wait. One minute, my dear. 1 minute. Okay. Just one will come to you. Okay. So if a person is a rasha, then he's pasul for a shua. So one type of rasha, if he's a gazel, he's a rasha. You can't take shua. Meaning he's obviously, his bona fides are undermined. He's a gazel. All right. So we have to see each case by itself. Okay. Now, Ruth, what do you got for me?
I didn't hear Fern's question.
Okay, Fern's question was, how do we figure out when a person is pasul for a shvua? So you heard my answer. If a person's a rasha, they're pasul from shvua. Okay, now.
That's it.
If a person's a rasha, you heard my answer. The answer you heard, the question you didn't hear, right? So you got it. Okay.
Is she satisfied with that?
Yeah, she's satisfied. Are you satisfied with it? She didn't say she was satisfied, but that was it. What do you got for me for Ruth? What's up? Ruth? All right. Okay. Right. Also. Oh.
So I guess they...
It says, Al Tashat Rasha Aid. In other words, Chazal Darsh now, you shouldn't have Rasha's maid. So Masachi Fakuvia... So Chazal take it Masachi Fakuvia. He's like there's a question: is he not Osek Biyishuvo Shalolam or it's Asmach Lokani? So if you say Asmach Lokani, then he's a Gaza. Okay, all right. Ruth, you want to say something? Otherwise, I'm moving on.
No.
Okay. Then please mute yourself. Okay. Okay. Now, all right. We're on the sixth line. Sixth line on Hey Amibes. Everybody focus at the two dots. Everybody with me? Okay. So if you remember the Mishnah we did on Dafes Amin Aleph, we said Zei Shava Shein Luba Pachot Michetzia, Zei Shava Shein Luba Pachot Michetzia. Two people are holding on to a talus, and the Gemara is going to say later on in the week they're holding by the strings of the talus, like the fringes of the talus. So each one is sort of is Muchsak on the talus. So we have a Dina Yachloku, but each one has to take a Shvua that he doesn't have less than half in the talus. Now, the Gemara takes it that if I say I don't have less than half a talus, I could have nothing in the talus. In other words, if I say I don't have, what is it? In other words, if I have a quarter or a third of the talus, then that's not true. Because in other words, I have at least half. So I'm saying I'm not going to have a third or a quarter. But if I have zero, so I don't have anything in the talus. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, we'll see in a minute. Let me read. I'll read the Gemara, we'll do the Rashi, and we'll get through it. Okay, so let's take a look. So, does he take a shvua that he has at least a chatzin? You could frame the shvua in two ways. The shvua could be, he's saying a shvua, I have at least one half of the talus. That would be one way to frame the shvua. Then he's got at least half. Or I could frame it in the negative way, which is the way the Talmud Mishnah does, she'ein lo ba pachot mechatzia. I don't have less than half in the talus. So let's see. Let me see about this with the Rashi. On the Rashi. Okay, around the 20th narrow line of the Rashi. Al did lay mishtaba or delayed lay mishtaba. Habali shababli tol chetia. If a person is taking shua and he wants half, circle shava sheish laba chetia. Does he have to take shua that he has half? Or the shava she'in laba pachot mechetia. Or he doesn't have less than half. Shema ein laba klum. Because maybe he's got nothing. If a person says, I don't have less than half, and he's got zero, so he, in other words, means if I have a claim, it's at least half. But he's got no claim, he's at nothing. So he says, if he really had a third or a quarter, that would be a false shvua. He says, "Sharei yesh lo ba shli shu pachot mechetzia, but ain lo ba chetzia." About she'ain lo ba klum nishbahu bemet. Rashi says, if he's got nothing, then he's saying emes. In other words, ain lo ba pachot mechetzia. He's saying, like, if I have an interest in the talis, it's not less than half. If I got nothing, so that's also the Gemara takes it. That would be correctly. All right, let's just do a few lines. Then we'll discuss. Okay, so let's see back in the Gemara. So he says. So Rav Huna says the shvua is a little more complicated or nuanced than the Talmud Mishnah tells us. The person is taking a shvua that he has a portion in the talis, but such portion as he has is not less than half. The name is shvua shekula. So that's the answer the Gemara has to that question. The name is Shvua Shekula Shalei. Why does he take a shvua that the whole talis belongs to me? He says, "Lumia Avina Lekula." In other words, are we going to award him the whole talis? Meaning, this would kind of like undermine the sort of the stature of the Beis Din. If the person is taking a shvua, the whole thing is mine. We're giving half. The name is Shvua Shekatsi Shalei. So why does he take a shvua that half of the talis belongs to him? Morale Diburi, that undermines his own claim. Notice his claim is the whole talis is mine. So Hashtanami Morale Diburi. He says, but here also, if he takes a shvua she'en lo ba pachot mechetzia, isn't he undermining his claim? So Gemara says, no. The Amar, now the Gemara is like fine-tuning what he says. Each litigant will say, before he makes the shvua, he says, kula shali. The whole talis, as far as I'm concerned, is mine. That's my claim. U'devrechem, but according to you, Bezdin, that you only want me to take a shvua, for half of it, shvua she'esh li ba ve'en li ba pachot mechetzia. So I'm taking a shvua that I have an interest in it, but such as they have is not less than a half. Okay, now, one second. Okay, now, wait. 20 lines from the bottom in Rashi. U'devreichem she'en atem aminin libekula. It was according to your position, Bezdin, that you don't believe me for the whole thing. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? Again, we said that he would be undermining his claim. In other words, if he says that I have half of it, that's a direct contradiction to his claim. His claim is all of it. So we're framing it. No. I own all of it, but according to you, that you don't believe me, my shvua is I don't have less than half of it. In other words, but at least half I have, but I claim even more. If I say a shvua, he said that half it's mine, then he's like out of gas. But in other words, like the shvua though seems to be contradicting his claim. That's the way the Gemara takes it. Okay, all right. No, again, we found this. Either it's a talus with no simanim, in which case it doesn't matter who the owner is because no simanim is yeish, or we're talking about a city that rubakutim, most of the people are goyim, and there's no chiv hachraza, and that would be a silp, I guess, could be, I don't know, maybe if the true owner would somehow show up and give simanim, so maybe that would be the end of the case. But meanwhile, this is what we have in front of us. Remember that that's what the Rush said about that it's a Yirsh Rubakutim, and that's where Dabrowski's at home, the Brach explained. Okay, now, what?
I don't understand the explainment.
I'm going to have to move on in a minute. Go ahead.
It's because he owns nothing. It's technically true that he does not own less than half.
Right.
The
way the Gemara understands it is, if he says, She'eli ba pachot nechetzia, means if I have a claim, such claim as I may have in the talus is not less than half the talus. But if he's done nothing in the talus, it's also true. That's the way the Gemara takes it. All right. What do you mean it doesn't work?
We're back to the original language, whether it's a negative or a positive, not a conditional if then.
No. Wait. So the Gemara said if he would just say she'ini ba pachot mechetzi, he could have nothing. So the Gemara says he's saying more than that. His shavua is, I have a portion of the talus, and such portion as I have is not less than half.
Right. That's why the conditional statement doesn't hold.
Right. In other words, he's clarifying the original statement. Okay, now, we've got to keep moving because we're running out of time. We have to keep moving, Ruth, because this is the way Daf Yomi works, okay? So he says, so since each side is holding the talus, why do we need a shua? In other words, why can't I just say two people are holding on to it? What do we need the whole shua? So this we had already earlier in Daf Gimel. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. The shua is in Achmiyam and Derais level. There is no shua, but it's a Takanas Chachamim. At least point three, Rabbi Yochanan. So everybody doesn't go grabbing on to objects, but fourthly, Omer Shalihu, since things mine. So it means without a valid claim to it. So by having the shua, we hope to tease out fraudulent claims. And now the Gemara says, the name of Migo de Kashid Ramona, Kashid Nami Ashuata. So the Gemara says, if the purpose of the shua is to tease out false claims, in other words, the person is grabbing onto something which is clearly not his, and now the shua is going to tease it out, how will the shua help? Why don't we say, by definition, your concern is that we suspect that he wants to steal something that's not his. So we're going to have a shua, and now we'll know it's an honest claim. But if your fear is that he's a thief, then why do you even believe in the shua? In other words, if you're afraid of a dishonest person. So he says, so the Gemara says, Lo amina niyu d'chashim on chashim shuata. So the Gemara says, we don't say that if a person's chashim on will be chashim on shua. Let's see the Rashi. He says, Lo Aminan, eight lines from the bottom, above the wide line, Lo Aminan, the Chamir Hula in Shua means Shukzela. In other words, people take the Shua much more stringently than even stealing. That's what we think. Now, back in the Gemara, the Elo Te Mahahi, so we had different Chinko, but this Gemara is saying, we don't say the Yukashu Kafuata. So, and if you look at the top line of Tosfos in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth Tosfos, Kashmonach lo kasha shvuata, he says, near and behind a time of the shua chamura kidita biyom of shvuot, sha'olam nizazea lo tisa. The whole world shook when they heard the lo tisa shem alakech l'sham. Don't take God's name in vain. It means that in the shua you take Hashem's name. So let's see back in the Gemara. The ilo te mahaki, because if you don't say this way, that don't say near kashmonach shvuata, Hi, the Amar Rahman, a motor mixer to Tani Shabbat. The Torah says that a person's motor mixer that he has to take a Shua, name a Miyo the Chashimon of Chashu Shuata. Why don't we say by every motor mixer that we suspect him of impropriety? Okay, let's be patient. Why don't we say we suspect him of impropriety so he's not name of the Shua? So the Gemara says that's not necessarily conclusive, that line of argument. Hatam Ishtamuti Kamishtamid, like the Rabbah. We had a svar in the Gemara. The guy could be basically honest. But he just says like a story you know, like, you know, it was all, I don't owe you all the money. He just wants to get time, so he'll pay the money. In other words, the person, a person might, you know, come up with sort of like a dishonest excuse to get out of paying so he can get more time to get the money together. He says, Teda, the Amar of Idi Baravin, Amar of Pista. So Rav Idi Baravin says, and Rav Pista, Kofa Vimilda, Kasha Leidit. If a person denies a loan, in other words, Reuben says, you owe me money. And Shimon says, I don't owe you the money. And then Adam come and say, you owe him the money. So not, so we know that it's false. The Adam came in and testified that his claim was false. Notwithstanding that, Rav Idi Baravin says, Rav Pista, that the person who lied about the loan is still Kasha Leidit. Because he's basically an honest person. He just wanted to get the act together. If you look at Rashi, two lines before it gets wide, Tashla Eidot, Alma Lab Daitim Lenigzlei, his intent is not to steal, Dineim Al Tasha to Eid Hamas, Elishtam Mute Yavid, he wants to evade the guy, he wants to get a little time. But back in the Gemara, the Pikadon Pasal to Eidot. But if somebody pulls the same trick with Pikadon, Rubin says, I gave you five diamond rings. And the guy says, I don't know what you're talking about. And then Adam come and say, you know, he lent you the five diamond rings, or he gave you the five diamond rings to keep an eye on. So then that person is pasul eidus because there's no reason for him to deny it. He says, let's see, Rashi. He says, on the first wide line downstairs, yikaron pasul eidut, demai yishtamu te'iku, what evasion, harei lo nitan lahotza. He's not supposed to spend it or do anything with it, just to keep an eye on it. Uve'enu, so it's still around. Vimavad, you don't shabab yiftar, and if he lost it, and he's a shomer chinam, you say, I lost it. But what, so anyway, so back in the Gemara, Ella, so the Gemara says, back in the Gemara, we have to pick it up a little bit. Ella hadatani Rami Bar Chama, but Rami Bar Chama taught the following braisa. Arba'ah shomerim srichin fear of miksa v'odav miksa. So four shomerim, we said before, need a mode of miksa. Shomer chinam, a shol nosi sachar v'socher. Neim amigo de chashamon, a chashir shvuata. Why don't we say, in other words, again, with the three shomrim, right? So we said that for one sad, that you have the mode of mixah together with the shomrim, the bichayah, the shvuta shomrim. So it means that we suspect that this shomer is not being honest. He says, one cow I owe you. We did. One cow never happened. And one cow you have the shvuta shomrim. So the shvuta shomrim one, that's like milva. That's the way Rabbi Roblowski was saying. In other words, he could be basically honest and never any taina, I am shomer chinam, so it was stolen. So I'm off the hook. So we're going to give a shvut to see if it was really the case. So that is neman. But why do we believe him with the one that says lowe yudvar meola? That's like pikadon. So how do we ever give him a shvut about the cow that he says never was around before? So he says, so migo dechashon dechashon shvuta. So hatam nami. So the Gemara says, so the fact that we give him that shvua, we think shows that we don't say chashamor chashvuta. So the Gemara says no. Hatam nami ishtemuti kamishtami. Even in that case, he could be trying to evade the mafkid. Savar mashkachin leganav betafis alei. In other words, maybe it was stolen, and maybe he's chayav for geneva. Maybe he's a shomer sachar, and he says, Lord, I never got it. But it was really stolen, but he's chayiv and stolen. So maybe he's thinking, I'll find the ganav and I'll get the cow. Inami mishkachin liba'aga v'itim lei. Or it walked out the door, but I'll find them in the meadow, so I just want time to get the act together. Yihafi, if that's the case, the Gemara says, a kofer b'pikadon amai pasal li'evet. So let's go back to the pikadon case. The guy, Reuven, gave Shimon a diamond ring to keep on, and he said, I don't know anything about your diamond ring. So why don't I say, nimish tamuti tamishtame? Why can't I say that even when he denies it, we said he's possibly atheist? Why can't I say he's just trying to evade the mafkid? Sabar ad bachishta mashkichalei. Until I search for it and I'll find it. So the Gemara says, ki amrina na kofrikana pasala edut. When we said that kofrikana is pasala edut, going to atu sadi basidabe, that Adam show up and testified, the hahi shaita itla bikana mabete bahabayada, that he had it and he knew about it. It was on the kitchen table, he saw it. He says, inami. He was holding in his hand. So then, if he's a bald-faced liar, we're not going to believe him. All right, now, the Gemara says, so, but the main idea is, the Gemara wants to say, it could be still, the Chashmona is Chashid Shvuta, and in the other cases, we could say, this is like an explanation why we believe them. So, Elahadam Aravuna, Mashpinoto Shvusha in a Bershuto, this is talking about a case where a person gave something to a shomer. And let's say he was a shomer chinam, and he says, it was stolen. So we say, take a shul, it was stolen. So he says, I don't want to take a shul, I'll pay you for it. So the Gemara says that Rav Huna says that even if he says, I don't want to take a shul, I'll pay you for it, we still force him to take a shul. Mashpino to shul, shena bershuto. We force him to take a shul that the item is not in his possession. So because we think that he's lying, we think that he wants to keep it and he'll pay for it. It'll be like a forced sale, but this. So so why don't we say that if that's what you suspect him of, and you say so you shouldn't take the shvua. That proves that we don't say chashmul chashes shvuta. But in other words, you suspect that the guy actually has it, you suspect the guy's going to pay money for it. So he's really a thief. So how can we say let him take a shvua? He doesn't have it. But if chashmul chashvuta, how can he take the shvua? So the verse says hatam nami mo rav amar. Over there, the Shomer rationalizes, Dami, I'm going to pay him for it. In other words, I'm not doing something so terrible. In other words, you're right. I took the diamond ring. The diamond ring was $10,000. So I don't want to say, so I said it was stolen. You know, it's false. But I'm going to pay him $10,000. So I don't feel like I'm doing something so terrible. So we'll take the shoe and hopefully I'll tease them out. So Amalei Rabbasim is gifted the Ravina, but even so, he, the Shomer, is over on a serious lav of low tachmon. Don't covet, don't desire, which is not yours. So he should still be, you know, even if he's not a gazlan, he should still be suspicious of violating the shvuah because he's not a reliable person. He's over on low tachmon. So the Gemara says, low tachmon, the inshi lo demei mashmahu. You're right, he is over on low tachmon, but the people generally think that low tachmon is if I desire something of yours, I'm not going to pay for it. Then I'm over on low tachmon. People don't think, if I pay for it, then I'm over on the taco. So based on his false, you know, thinking, so he has his rationalization. He doesn't think he's doing anything so terrible. So
he makes it look square against the
group. What do you mean?
So we say
he
wants to pay.
Yeah.
We say that we're gonna make it square.
How do you force somebody to take a shvua? Yeah. So one second. So I have to look into that a little bit.
What if he lost it? He's ashamed. That's
what he says. So we want to take him. So we say if that's what the claim is, then you have to take a shua. All right. Now the all right. Let me just do a little piece here, and then that'll be tonight. Okay. Bruchatihi. Okay. Now we'll do a story or two, and that'll be it. I'll do a little story, and if we have more time, we'll do a bigger story. All right, so on today's daf, we find the prohibition against coveting that which belongs to another. One Rosh Hashanah, a certain man davening, a very worthy minion, wished to purchase an aliyah. He bid a respectable price for it, but his friend outbid him. After Rosh Hashanah, he was shocked to find that he still harbored a feeling of jealousy toward his friend who had procured the aliyah. He immediately wrote to Rav Chaim Kanievsky Sassal to ascertain if he had violated the prohibition against Lo Tachmon. In other words, Ruth, you're not muted. All right. So he's asking Rav Chaim, in other words, I feel I wanted that aliyah. I over on Lo Tachmon. That's his Rosh Hashanah tip or whatever. So he says Rosh Hashanah. So Rav Kanievsky says, it depends. If you are jealous because of the spiritual advantage that your friend attained by getting aliyah on Rosh Hashanah, not bad. In other words, if you desired like spiritual elevation, that's not bad. That's kinat tokrim tor b'chachma. But if you were jealous of the honor that was bestowed on your friend, it's quite possible you violated the prohibition. Since the Chafetz Chaim Tzal warned against a circumstance in which many people violate this prohibition. This prohibition is often violated by chassanim who impose on their unwilling prospective in-laws by asking for material goods that were not agreed upon during the time. He says, even though the in-laws give these articles as a gift to the new couple, the chassan still buys this prohibition of low tachmon and employs pressure to secure material benefits for himself that were not part of their original agreement. See, in other words, In other words, I want what you have. I want you to give it to me. So I'm putting pressure on you that you'll give it to me. That's a low tach mode. And you're over on low tach mode with that respect. Okay, he's got a little bit more here. I mean, he's got a whole like shikl Torah on about this issue. When people think something is mutar, how does it impact their ability to serve as a witness? But I think that's going to be it for tonight. Okay, let me end the recording. One second.